kind of opening up the Old Testament to look at the bigger picture. Hebrews 11, and hopefully as you came in, you got a bulletin, and it'll have a copy of the sermon notes in there. Be what's on the slides up on the projector. So what we really need is the same faith that it took to conquer Jericho. You know, it's a big deal that we come to the place that we can trust God. And this story, you know, about conquering Jericho is a lot bigger picture than what we're going to read in these two verses. This is just a real quick summary of the result of what faith can do. But we're going to go back in time, and we're going to look at this from the actual event in the Old Testament a little bit. But as we look at these two verses, if I could have you stand up for the reading of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31, and we're going to pray over that before we dig in. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these two short verses, if all we were doing was reading this like a novel, we'd move on and we would really miss the real treasure that's encapsulated in these two verses. There's so much to this story. There's so much to this event that it's speaking of. And so it's talking about the faith that brought down the walls, but then it's not talking about the lack of faith that was shown before. It caused this whole process to have to be on hold. And Lord, you're waiting for us to really, I guess, put our faith into action. It doesn't mean that you're any less sovereign. It just means that you're so sovereign that you can have your will, and it is going to be accomplished over time, but you call us to exercise our faith to see your will done. And so, Lord, it would be so much easier for you just to do everything and leave us out of the process, but that's just not your will. You want us to be part of the process so that in this process, our faith can be established. We can grow. For some of us, it means that we'll actually become a believer because of this process that you're taking us through to show us your reality, to show us that you really are King, that you really are the Savior, you really are the only way. There's a whole world out there screaming that you're not the only way. You are the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. There might be some in this house that they're still trying to figure out if they can trust that statement, if they can really fully trust you. And so, Lord, today I pray you would confirm faith in their hearts. And for those of us who have started in that journey of faith, we've made that profession, we have decided that this is the truth that we're going to build our life on, that you are that truth, you are the foundation, then I pray that you'll make our faith a little stronger today as well. So Lord, speak to us as we see this biblical account, because really the story behind this is huge. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. And just thinking about this faith to actually go in and take Jericho is amazing. And so, you know, as we kind of go back in time, we got to understand that whenever God called out Israel to leave Egypt and go to take the promised land, he had already promised this land to them over 400 years ahead of time. And it came time. And whenever it came time, he delivered them out of Egypt, and it was a miraculous delivery. It took 10 plagues to finally change the Pharaoh's heart enough to allow them to even leave. And all of that was purpose in God's, you know, it was all purposeful the way that he planned it. Because if you look at the 10 plagues and you look at Revelation, you begin to see that there's a whole lot of foreshadows going on there, a whole lot of symbolisms, a whole lot that we understand about the end times by seeing that time. And so God is always purposeful. He's always got his plan that he is establishing. He's always showing us things through these different activities. So let's jump forward a couple slides there and understand that whenever the fullness of time had come for him to for them to make their departure from Egypt, that journey to the promised land, the journey to the line of the land of Canaan should have taken 11 days. That group could actually go from point A to point B in 11 days. So why did it take 40 years? And the answer is because of a lack of faith. It just boils down to just lack of faith. I mean, they were delivered, and God showed them his miracles through the deliverance. He showed them the 10 plagues. He showed how it did not affect them in the same way that it did the other people. Because of their faith, they used the blood of the lamb and put it on their doorposts as they were prescribed to do on the time of Passover, which was going to make the death angel pass over every house that was marked with the blood of the lamb. Do we see a foreshadow in that, church? The blood of the lamb needs to mark us so that on the day of judgment that we will not experience dying forever and ever and ever in hell. So yes, they were delivered because of their faith. They were brought down to the land to that land right at the point where there was only the Red Sea and no other escape, with the Egyptian army coming toward them. They were brought to that place purposely, because God had a plan to deliver them miraculously, to build their faith as they went. But whenever it came time to actually go in and take the promised land, God sent these 10 spies in, or 12 spies in, and they spied out the land. They saw that the people were great in stature in the land of Canaan. They were huge. Some of these folks were like giants. And yet they forgot about those miracles that God did. Or they didn't apply that. And the reason why I'm taking time to develop this is because we're no different today. Amen. When we face a new challenge, it may look big, it may look like a giant, but you know what? We've got to remember, what has God already done for me in the past? Do not forget what God has done for you in the past. And maybe you don't have that past. He's starting to develop a past for you. He's developing a walk of faith in your life. Let him do miracles in your life. Trust him enough to see his deliverance. Do what he says in the word, and you're going to see God work. You're going to see him move. It may not be exactly what you expect, but I can guarantee you, whatever God's will be better than you expect if you just give him a chance. It's amazing whenever we begin to see how God will. But you see, those spies went in, and when they came back with their report, they 10 out of the 12 looked at it through the eyes of flesh. Our flesh gets in our way. Our flesh only wants to believe what is physically possible. It does not take into account supernatural. It does not take into account God, that he is a supernatural creature. You see, we're natural. He's supernatural. Sometimes that word, you know, gets used improperly because that's not really, you know, we start thinking of paranormal and all these other almost like types of words to put on this experience. I want you to know, God's supernatural, but God does still follow his own rules. God's not just doing this thing willy-nilly out there. He is just, and he is perfect in all of his ways. And he's not going to just, like, do things at a whim. He has a purpose and a plan, and it goes along with his original intention, and has to build faith in us. But you see, whenever those spies went in, they forgot about God. And when the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Well, of course they are. It wouldn't be a test. If it was just going to be easy, if it was naturally easy for them to be able to do it, they wouldn't need God. Do you realize that you're coming up against tests in your lives that are bigger than you, and it's on purpose, because if you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need God. God wants us to know how much we need Him. God wants us to know how much we need Him. Can I get another amen? God wants us to know how much we need Him. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't have to look to Him. You may have challenges ahead of you that look like the Canaan land. It's promised to you. God said you're going to make it. God says you can take the land. But you know what? There's giants camped out there. They look stronger than us, and you know what? They are. But they're not stronger than God. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. It came from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight as well. And continues, say to them, in verse 4, or chapter 14, I'm going to skip Samaria just for time's sake, but I want you to go back and look at this whole story a little bit more, because, I mean, there's so much going on here. I'm going to tell you that the report of those 10 spies was not pleasing to God. Now, there were two, Caleb and Joshua, that believed God. They saw that the people were really great in stature. They agreed. And the land was, as God said, it was filled with milk and honey in great abundance. There were like clusters of grapes that were so large that it took two men to carry. I mean, can you imagine, you know? And I mean, it was just like abundance that was just unbelievable. Do you know, still to this day, the abundance that comes out of that land of Israel is just incredible? Do you know, like, most of the long-stem roses that you see are around the world are raised in that area? They just have the most perfect, you know, situation for abundance. God gave that to them, but they had to go in and take it. They had to believe Him and trust that He could help them. But you see, everyone wound up believing the 10 spies instead of the two that were being faithful, Joshua and Caleb. And it really displeased God. And when we jump forward to Numbers chapter 14, or chapter 14, verses 28 through 33, this is what the Lord says to Moses. Moses was just pleading with God, you know, don't reject them. Don't reject us. Because if you destroy us now, it's gonna make you look bad to all the other nations. They're gonna say, see, they got let out of Egypt, but then God just destroyed them out there. This is what God has to say back in Numbers chapter 14. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you will by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, that was their excuse. We can't do this because it might hurt our children. And then they started screaming, send us back to Egypt. We were better off back there. You know what, guys? Every one of us in this place at one time or another have said, maybe I was better off before. Be careful saying that. God's not pleased with that. Be careful taking that approach. Be careful taking that attitude. You were not better before you knew Jesus. It was not better for you before you knew Jesus. Now, your immediate situation might have gotten more uncomfortable sometimes after you became a follower of Christ. I would agree, because God wants to make changes in our lives. But I'm going to tell you, you have a destination in heaven that cannot be changed. You are better off in Jesus. Even if you end up in prison, like some of our brothers and sisters in other countries, they still shouldn't go back to Egypt. They still shouldn't go back to their life before. They need to keep going forward with Christ, because He's got a plan. And so God says, because of your lack of belief, everyone from that generation is going to die in the wilderness before I allow you to go in. Those little ones that you said, we've got to not try this because this is bad for them, he said, they're going to be the ones to inherit it. You know, when you use not doing something because you don't want it to be uncomfortable for your children, I want you to remember those children belong to God. If God's called you to something as a family, he's going to help it work out for all of us. And yes, we should be concerned about the children, but I want you to know God loves your children more than you do. So we need to like trust that God knows how to take us in a walk of faith, even with our children. Amen? And so he wanted to take them into the promised land with the dads leading the way in faith so that those children could see that faith. But because of their lack of faith, he says, your children will go, but you're not going to. And you know what? He meant what he said. And you notice how he said Joshua and Caleb? And we notice Moses is missing from that. What happens with Moses? Do you know Moses didn't get to enter that promised land because of his own lack of faith at a later date? You see, God ain't playing games. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going into heaven. There ain't no two ways about it. And if you know Jesus, then you need to follow Jesus. There's no two ways about it. And you're going to come up against things that are going to look huge. You're going to come up against things that, but don't you dare start saying, I'm going back. Don't go back. God wants to see faith. We need to keep going forward. And so there's only one option. It's to keep going forward. And we may not know how God's going to do it, but you know, here's the thing. He will. It may be last minute. It may be way later than what we were hoping for, but I'm going to tell you, he will. And so he said, Caleb and Joshua are the only ones from this generation that came up out of the land of Egypt from 20 years old and above who are going to enter that land. And we're going to wait until that whole generation passes away. He goes on in verses 32 and 33, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, the exact number of years that they lived in that wilderness before they were able to go in, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. Well, the time did come. The time had come to conquer the land and starting with Jericho. And so Joshua stepped up to the leadership. God groomed him for that. Moses died on the mountain looking out over the promised land, did not get to enter in because of his own lack of faith that was displayed in his anger, his unjustified anger that came out. And so it's time for Joshua to take the people in. And I'll tell you, there was some preparation that had to happen. In fact, whenever they crossed over, the Jordan River, well, through the Jordan River, there was another, like, baptism of that generation. You see, that crossing through the waters, the first generation that came out of Egypt that was 20 years and above, they had to cross through the Red Sea. Do you know that's a foreshadow to baptism? And then that next generation that grew up, they were going to have to be baptized too, so to speak. Into that faith, into that, you know, showing them that miracle. And so God held back the Jordan River at flood stage, and they passed through. You see, God wants you to pass through. He wants you to pass through that experience of having submitted yourself to that water baptism to symbolize your new life with Christ. And then he wants to open up new doors for you. They realize they had not been consecrated the way that they should. So they took on the consecration in the Old Testament sign for their men of being circumcised, even before they went into battle. They were setting in enemy territory. They had passed through the water. They were on the other side of the border where they were vulnerable. And they became more vulnerable in accordance with just doing what God said. You know, God will tell you, you know, through the word that you need to set yourself apart. You need to take this time. And you might say, well, I can't, God, because if I do, you see, I'll be vulnerable. God will take care of it. You see, God will take care of it. He took care of it for them. And whenever the time came You know, Joshua actually saw this man standing outside of the city, and he said, you know, he could tell this was different. And it was a pre-incarnate experience with Christ, and he said, "Are you for them or for us?" And he said, "No." Jesus is always standing on his own. Question is, are we for him? Because if we're for him, then we come under his protection. And that's in essence what he was saying. He was there to represent the armies of the living God, the angel armies. And he's saying, if you're with me, then I'm with you, and you'll take it. You'll take the land. And so this time came, and so you'd think, man, there's this great war plan. I'm sure God's got this great war plan for everybody. And that time had come to conquer the land, and I'm going to tell you, their faith's going to be tested. He's going to give them a battle plan. I'm going to be honest, if you're a great general, this ain't going to make sense. If you're a strong, you know, really mighty, physical stature sort of a guy, this ain't going to make sense. This is just not going to make sense. But you see, the Lord said to Joshua, there's the key right there. The Lord said it. It's true. We just need to do it. So the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark. But on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow their trumpets. How in the world is that going to bring down walls? These walls of Jericho were not a joke. This was a well-fortified city. In fact, they've dug up the remnants of Jericho. It was interesting because God said that all the spoils of Jericho was they were all reserved for him. They were to take none of them. And if you read forward, you realize, well, there was one family that tried to take some of them, and it really caused a curse to come on the whole people of Israel for a time until they got that settled. But this was supposed to be symbolic. This new beginning is a new beginning with God, and it's all about him. It's all about him, devoted all to him. And so he was giving them the battle plan. This was not going to be the battle plan for every city they came across either. So that's an important key as well. We got to go to God for each giant that we have to conquer, and we need to ask him how to do it. And we need to find it in the scripture. We need to go forward in that. But you see, this whole thing, they're just supposed to march around the city 6 days in a row, one time each day. And then on the seventh day, they're supposed to do it seven times. And at the end of seven times around there, the priests are going to blow their trumpets. And this is going to be the battle plan. I'm going to tell you, this is going to require some faith. To just do it, don't you? Wouldn't you? I mean, honestly, you're the great army, and you're going in to take this city, and it's a fortified city, and you know you're feeling a little nervous about all this. Aren't you going to feel kind of vulnerable and foolish walking around this city, blowing, you know, just marching around the city, just doing nothing but just marching around the city, and then they're going to blow this horn, and you're going to. Yeah. Do you ever notice that sometimes the things that God tells us to do, they don't fit very well with the world? Sometimes people scratch their heads when they see Christians loving others even though they've been done wrong. Sometimes they scratch their heads when they see us get up at 5 below and get in our cars and scrape the ice off and drive to church. There's lots of people saying, why would they do that? That's dangerous. I remember whenever our family went on a mission trip to Thailand, I kept hearing, that's dangerous. I really believe God called us to that. I'm not saying that it might not have had some element of danger, but you know what? It's more dangerous to not follow God. And when you read it in the Word especially, you better do it, because if you don't, there's going to be consequences. And so what we see here is, you know, by a right understanding, they just need to do what God said. And by faith, the walls came down. Here's the thing. Faith requires obedience. Now this, you can go to that picture. That's good. So this isn't in your guide. You may not be able to see it really well, but what you can see is that there's like stages and steps to these walls. And it's what I was, archaeologists have actually dug up ruins from where the city of Jericho, you know, they believe was, and they have found a city that has this like terraced wall system, and almost all of it is down. There's just one little place that was still sort of established. And so you might say, well, he said all the walls were going to come down. Don't worry, we'll get to that later, okay? We'll get to that one little area that was still established. But they get an idea of what this thing looked like. And I'm just going to tell you, man is not taking that down himself. You know, even great armies, it would take, you'd have to build embankments or something to get over this thing. The way they had it built made this city very well fortified. It made it very hard. And all the people of the city saw them coming. They had heard about it. In fact, they had heard about it. They found out they had heard about it 40 years before in Jericho. And the people of Jericho had heard about their deliverance from Egypt. And the people of Jericho were actually terrified. Did you realize that these enemies that look like such giants to you, that are representing like demonic authorities, do you realize they're actually terrified of God? They are not terrified of you, but they are terrified of the one who you belong to. And when we pray, there's a power of God that overcomes. When we in faith follow God and we obey his word, he's the one that brings the walls down. So fast forwarding a little bit, Joshua 6, verses 20 through 21. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. So they did everything they were told to do. 6 days they marched around once. 7th day they marched around 7 times. After the 7th time, the priest blew the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. You can see the terraces there. I believe the wall fell in and probably filled in the terrace so that they had an easy way in. They just came into that city. And then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, and young and old, ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of the sword. And that sounds real sad to us, but what it represents, guys, is the complete destruction of evil. The complete destruction of evil. Whenever you come to Christ, he wants you to forsake all evil in your life. There's not like some sins that are necessary. You may still struggle with some sins, amen, we all do, we're trying to figure it out, we're trying to figure out how to bring it all under the blood of Christ, but I want you to know that God wants to fully deliver you from all of it, and he doesn't just want to wait till you get to heaven to do it. You see, he wants to do it now in your relationship with him, a little bit of time. Praise God, he's working on us, amen, but he wants there to be a complete destruction of all that, so we need to completely denounce it all in our relationship with Christ. But you see, there's this one, Rahab and her family, mentioned in this from Hebrews chapter 11 as well. She is remembered in this whole situation. She was a harlot that lived in the wall. You remember I said there was that one little part of the wall that was still standing, even in the ruins that they found of the old city? Jericho eventually was rebuilt by one of the kings that was foolish because it said it should never be rebuilt. If anybody ever rebuilds it, the foundations will be set at the cost of their firstborn. And then the gates will be hung at the cost of their last. Well, there was somebody along the way that decided to try to do that. But apparently, you know, it wasn't necessarily built on the exact same location because they have found one that goes back further than that. And you know, it's interesting to find that there's just one little place in the wall that's still standing. And I believe God left that there for us to remember that there was one person of Jericho that had faith. Now, he was saying that all of those who dwelt in there should be destroyed, but this always gives me hope. Because I'm going to tell you, whenever it says in the Word that of all who come to Christ, he will no wise cast even one of them away, I believe it. Because whenever Rahab showed faith, the spies came in, she hid the spies, she made sure whenever they come to capture those spies that they did not get captured. She said, remember me. And they said, you tie a scarlet thread in your window, and when we come back, we'll remember you. And you know, she and her entire family was saved because of her act of faith. You know, your faith actually has a protection that can be established over other people that you're related to and that are close to you in your life. It doesn't save them, but it sure can put them in a better place to be saved. And it does establish some protection because of the way God will treat you. And so the people shouted when, and those walls came down, and they showed that obedience. And for Rahab, on that next slide, she and her whole family were spared because she obeyed in faith. And it says in verse 25, and Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, the day that this was being written, because she hid the messengers from Joshua, or whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She showed faith. She became a child of God because of faith. She entered into the covenants that were given to all of Israel. She became an Israelite by faith. And I just want you to know, it matters. Your obedience to your faith matters. I want you to see a little bit more about Rahab. When you look at the genealogy of Jesus, his earthly genealogy, it says in Matthew 1, verses 5 through 6, Solomon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, another person that entered in from another country, a Moabitess. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. David, the king, begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. What we understand is Rahab ended up being in the line of the king, King David, who is the line of Jesus, Messiah. That one act of faith was huge. When you act in faith, it's huge. We may think, well, it's optional. Yeah, I guess it was, I don't know. But think of the option. She would have been destroyed. Whose name would have been in that? I don't know. I don't know that there was a plan B. But it wasn't optional. She needed to obey God. She could have never known how far the implication of that would be. It's huge. Your obedience to God in faith matters. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What is God calling you to do right now in your walk of faith? Well, what is he saying to you? It may look like a giant. Did he make the walls of Jericho fall? They didn't do it. It doesn't say they blew the trumpet, shouted, and then ran and busted down the wall. No. They did what he said, and he did what he said. When we obey God, we're going to get to see God do what he says. He's faithful. Whatever it is he's calling you to do, it may look like it's too big right now. Just surrender to Jesus fully. Go forward with him. Do that next step of faith, and then he'll open up the door and show you what the next step looks like. Some of us, some of you may be like me, I don't know. I was really bad about thinking, well, I don't really want to do that. but maybe I can do something else, something else a little further down the road. Maybe I can skip that one. And so far, I found out he won't let you skip it. If you balk on this one and you just won't go forward, he'll just be real patient like he was with the people of Israel. He waited 40 years. Not a problem for him. Until you decide to follow him. Just make sure you don't grieve him so bad that he goes, not putting up with that anymore. I'm going to pass it down to your children. Tell you what, a lot of things we see happening in our society, we're all mad at society over. We better be careful, because a lot of that was the responsibility of the church to respond to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and the church didn't respond. We better respond now, properly. And a lot of that response comes by faith, just doing what God says. What's God calling you to do? We can look around and see all the fault in everybody else. That's an easy one. We really need to just look at ourselves sometimes. Just ask him, show me, Lord. Don't be afraid of what he's going to say. Whatever that one thing is you're afraid of is probably something you need to deal with. I remember whenever I was really stuck on certain things in my first steps with Christ, and I realized, you know, the reason why I'm so afraid he's going to put his finger on this is because I'm really not wanting to let it go. It must be an idol. God wants you to give up the idols. Bury them. Leave them. Go forward with him. You'll never regret it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Show us the things that we need to surrender to you.